Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, anyone in between and all those still trying to figure it the fuck out, please sit back, relax, put in your earphones, and buckle your seatbelts. The next 2 hours are guaranteed to not be safe for work. Now welcome to your speakers, smartphones, or laptop, America's sweetheart, Pollo Del Mar, and a San Francisco's blazing beauty, Pearl Tees. It's time for Podomatic's number one ranked LGBT podcast, and 120 minutes of your life you will never get back. Brought to you in conjunction with San Francisco's Left Magazine, it's time for Party Foul Radio with Pollo and Pearl.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Party Foul Radio. I'm your co-host, Ms. Pollo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Tees.
Welcome to episode 65, everyone.
65.
Yeah, yes. 65. Oh, of course, this is our obligatory shout-out to Sister Indica of Joy Bomb Podcast here on Podomatic as well. She loves multiples of five, so 65 is a multiple of five. And, Pearl, this also means that we've been doing this for 1 year and over 3 months.
Come on, a year and a quarter.
Yes, girl. We are just moving right along. Made possible by our sponsors, of course, at Swiss Navy Lube,
Left Magazine,
Daddy's Barbershop, and of course, GuideToGay.com down in Australia. Australia's premier LGBT website.
Down under, girl.
Down under, Henry. So, it's been a busy weekend for everyone, I think. I don't know what Pearl's been up to, and we'll find out. But I do know that girls around the country have been stressing out all weekend because the cutoff for auditions for RuPaul's Drag Race Season 10 was this past Sunday at midnight. So good luck to all of the girls who opted to audition and submit their audition tapes. We at Party Foul Radio look forward to seeing the chosen few on our televisions next year.
And for those of you that didn't make it, girl, better luck next time.
Well, good luck to anybody who actually saw that process through start to finish, because it is no easy task to get a, you know, your audition video together. So good luck to all of you ladies. I know you put in hard work, time, and dedication, so we appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing what's on TV. Of course, you're also going to have to be competing against Eureka O'Hara, apparently, because she's coming back for season 10.
Yeah, I mean, competing on the show, if you make it that far.
Right, of course. So anyway, Pearl, how did you spend your weekend?
I was so busy. I had a show. I had two shows back to back on Saturday. I was over at the Lookout for Lips and Lashes brunch, which was a great show. And then I went over and did a fundraiser for the AIDS Life Cycle over at the Midnight Sun.
Cute.
Which was a big hit. Congratulations to, I believe, Sable Jones for hosting that event.
Yes, Sable. As far as I know, Sable did do that.
Yeah, it was a good time. After that, I went home, got into my regular gear, and hung out with my real friends. I mean, Sable's one of my real friends and stuff, too, but I mean...
Do you guys not find her shady the way she says all these things?
Well, you know, girl, keeping it real.
See, you guys, she says I'm super shady. She's the one who's so shady.
No, I'm not. Like, who do I hang out with in the drag community besides Kipper?
Well, I mean... It's just very, it's very shady.
No, which I think it's honest, and there is nothing wrong with being honest. And if you got a problem with me being honest, give me one reason. Oh, how about this chair? Pollo, I hate you.
Oh my God,
hold on, I gotta get up.
After Pearl ruined the chair last week, I brought in a new chair. Now she's ruined this chair.
No, it was already halfway ripped when I
whatever.
And
oh my God. Hold on, you guys. Pearl's destroying chairs one at a fucking time around this studio. Give us a moment. We'll be back.
Okay, so like I was saying...
We're back.
Girl, a mess around here. Anyway, like I was saying, the only people... I hang out with Kipper.
Mm-hmm.
In the community, I would consider Kipper, Sable, Eva Sensitiva, and Marijuana.
Your friends?
Uh-huh.
I didn't even make the list, y'all. She's a shady
bitch. Well, I mean, I'm sitting here with you. That doesn't count. But, I mean, those are people that, like, I would actually hang out with. You know what I mean? Or actually do hang out with outside of shows. Other than that, girl, people just, you know, only want to contact me if they're booking me for something or need me for something or want something.
I don't know. I mean, I guess that the difference with me is that, like, I tend to, like, run with a posse of people who do shows, and so that's those are my real friends. So.
I mean, if you hang out with them outside of shows, then yeah, those are your real friends. But if you don't, those are coworkers, girl.
Well, right, but I mean, I don't know. I'm on good terms with everybody, so I like hanging out with them. I don't, like...
If you hang out with them, you're friends.
Right, but I don't know. I just look at it very differently, because there are certain people who are not my friends. Like, I do shows with them and whatever, but... many, many of my friends do shows and we hang out otherwise. And even if I don't only see them at shows, like, I consider them friends because whatever. It's just...
Girl, if I don't
I think it's a semantical thing.
No, if I don't hang out with you or you don't hang out with me and the only time I see you is if we're in the show together, girl, we're not friends. We're acquaintances. We may be friendly to each other. We're coworkers, girl, on good terms. Just because we're not friends doesn't mean we're on bad terms.
Right. I mean, I totally understand. I'm not... Whatever.
Anyway, so that's what I did. It was a lovely weekend. Going back to last week, though, you guys, the audition that I had for AJSF.
Yes, tell us about it.
Was amazing and so intimidating. There were six girls. There were okay. six of us. And
these are all trans women, right?
Yeah, you have okay. to be a trans woman to audition.
Okay.
And
it was great. A recap. Pearl went down to the, like, world-famous Asia SF, which is where a lot of the TV show Transcendent is set from Fuse Network, and auditioned for a new cast opening in the show.
In the restaurant, not
in the restaurant, not on the Transcendent. Yeah. Right, okay, yes. Sorry.
And I think it went great. They said they'll let us know... within a month, because they have some, they had like six or seven people watching us, the owner, the co-owner, and they have a partner, and then their choreographer, who choreographs all the girls' dance numbers, and then
is, what's his name?
Ronnie Riddick,
yes, he's super cute, and his boyfriend's super cute.
And
they always reject me when I ask about playing with them. God damn it, Ronnie Riddick, and the boyfriend.
And Nia Cruz, who's the manager and one of the girls...
on the Transcendent TV show.
And at Asia. And then Tita Ida, who is one of the seniors at...
Of course, I love Tita.
I love her, too. She's such a sweetheart. I've known her for years, but...
Girl, you can't even imagine. I've known her for almost 20 years. It's funny, because I knew her by, like, just her regular name before I realized she did shows and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then years passed, and then I was like, oh, my God. So, yeah. Not that she looks any different when she does shows, except some makeup, but...
Right.
So.
And then Bambiana was there, but she wasn't on the judging panel.
I love Bambiana. I think she's funny as fuck.
She is.
She's crazy as fuck.
The reason she was there was because she was showing a number to the owners to get it approved, which didn't happen.
Oh, damn.
But, right. But I guess the reason why it's going to take a month is because there's a few people that were on the panel that are going to be on vacation for a couple weeks. So they'll hopefully let us know.
So did anybody else audition that we know?
Michaela Kendrick,
okay.
which is Mickey Monroe. Blair Bonnier, I believe you know. I don't know if you know Blair.
I'm not sure.
Gorgeous, beautiful. All the girls were gorgeous and beautiful, like all of them. So beautiful. It was great. It was great. Just auditioning with these girls.
Right.
To meet other girls, not like you, but like you.
Right. Girls like us.
Right. Girls like us.
Not me. Like that's just a saying, you guys. I'm not part of the girls like us.
Anyway, so it was fabulous. I'll keep you guys updated. If I get it, girl, I can't wait. Tita Ida, girl, one thing she had me gagged at, she said, girl, when I joined the team of Asia long ago, I was with them for 6 months, and my credit became outstanding, girl. So I was like, yes, girl, pick me. I want outstanding credit, girl, yes.
Oh, my God.
So I'll keep you guys posted.
Well, good luck with that perligua. So we wish you the best with that. Of course, we support you fully here. You guys have been doing, I haven't been doing anything important like that, but I've been I did my Puerto de Mayo on Friday at the Lookout.
Cinco de Mayo, yeah.
Yes. It was like the 9th annual or maybe the 10th annual Puerto de Mayo party at Lookout. And actually, we had these gorgeous posters right in front of us. I was so excited because, you guys, I've been producing parties at the Lookout on holidays for almost 10 years. And initially, we used to have these great posters, which had my face and name all over it. And, girl, now they just make these kind of generic posters to promote the events. But mm-hmm. Puerto de Mayo has got big, old, beautiful photo of me on it, taken by Jose Guzman Colon. And, yeah, it was super fun. It was completely packed. And, of course, it was on a Friday night, so it was extra, extra packed. And I saw Carne Asada there. She hosts the Drag Race viewing party at Lookout. And so, you know, the crowd was great. I made some good money, thank God. Oh, and DJ Hawthorne, by the way, who is the publisher of Left Magazine, was there, as was Jeff Kaluzny, the creative director at Left Magazine. So it was wonderful to see David as well as Jeff that Friday night. And then I saw Ashton LeMay. He was also DJing the after party of that. And Ashton and I are working on a song together. Ashton, get it together, boo. God, he's so busy. I can't even get up. I mean, I'm busy. And so my part of the song is like slacking too. But I have some questions. I want to meet with him so we can actually go into a studio maybe together and work on the song.
Girl, you got to be an independent woman these days, girl. Go and do it by yourself.
Right. Well, the thing is, like, it's his song and I'm going to be providing vocals. And we already did like a rough draft of a lot of it. But we wanted it out by summer. Obviously, that ain't happening, Gooch. Summer is upon us.
Right, just like in a few weeks.
So, meanwhile, you guys, what is going on with people putting all of their business on Facebook?
Girl, the drama on Facebook is real. We're going to get to the RuPaul's Drag Race recap. But, girl, let's talk about this drama online real quick.
The thing about it, I think that, of course, Pearl and I are about to talk about drama that's going on in Facebook world, focusing on San Francisco, but I know each and every one of you who's out there, who's on Facebook, knows what we're talking about, because invariably, in every city, town, province, wherever you live around the world, right, there is some bitch who is constantly putting way too much on Facebook. So, today, some bitch posted on Facebook, rate my hole on a scale of 1 to 10. Girl, first of all, ain't nobody needs to know about the rating of your hole. Second of all, I don't even want to think about your hole. Stop it. You know, it's like, or...
But girl, the gag is, I bet if you go under that post...
Girl, I left her a comment. I said, -2. She said, 1 being the lowest and 10 being the highest. I said, -2. Bitch, you better just stop. But, and you know, the problem with this stuff is, like, it's when you like these people in general, but you don't want to, like, know all that. I'm like, just stop. Like, I like some of these people. And then another group of my friends, which I will not name, two of them were roommates, scandalized the other one by, I don't want to go into it, but it got, there's this really,
scandalizing the other roommate.
There's like a really ugly kind of legal dispute that popped up. And like, why do you want to put all of your business out on Facebook? Or other people will, like, go on Facebook and accuse somebody of stealing something. That's an ongoing one.
That's the one that I was looking at this weekend, girl. Oh, my God. Not even yesterday. Was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday, girl.
It's just, like, why do you feel the need to do this stuff on, like, on social media? By the way, I'm just telling you right now, if you accuse someone, even implicitly, of stealing something from you, you don't have to name them. If it's, like, implied and it could be easily understood and figured out by anyone, and it's not true and that person wanted to sue you, you are in a position to be sued for libel because you published something and slander. Libel is when you publish something openly that accuses somebody of something that's not true. Slander is maligning a person's name or reputation based on whatever your purpose or cause is. It's just like, you guys, like, you just keep this stuff to yourself. Like, we're grown people.
Yeah, like if you honestly have a, like, think someone stole your shit, girl, go talk to that person.
Yeah, or like, if you think a person has a propensity to steal shit, don't put your shit around them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or like, you know, I'm not, like, I will tell you, I'm a drag performer, I host my own show, and I leave my dressing room for almost a full hour, you know, I'm gone from there for a full hour, and there are a couple things that I always tell people. First of all, if I don't know the people, they don't need to be up in the dressing room. Your friends right. and your entourage don't need to be in the dressing room where my wallet is, often my phone, my ID, all of this shit is in there. So there's a lot of valuable stuff. Plus my money is in there. So if I don't know people, they need to go. Second of all, if I don't trust certain people, I don't leave my shit around them. Like if I have mm-hmm. a predisposed inclination that somebody's not trustworthy or something, I'm a grown person. I have to take responsibility for myself. Like
right.
either put that shit away and like zip up your suitcases or whatever. So somebody really has to go through something to come across your bullshit or whatever it is. But like the last thing I'm going to go do is like have a sneaking suspicion that somebody did something and blast their ass on Facebook, you know, like right. that it's just like, I'm not telling people how to like live their life. I am saying that it's something that I don't that it turns me off when I see that, because not only does it speak poorly of another person, but it also does not reflect terribly well on the person who's doing it, I think. Right. A lot of times.
I feel like a lot of this drama is making, just like all the mess that's been on Facebook, it makes the entire community look like shit.
Well,
it makes it look like a joke and like no one's gonna take you seriously. Girl, this is why they don't take SF Drag seriously. Look at how you guys act on Facebook.
Well, I'm sure, well, that actually might be true. And by the way, when they say they don't take SF Drag seriously, somebody asked me recently, because they knew the Drag Race casting thing was happening or whatever, and they said, I heard a long time ago that they are biased against San Francisco drag. Is that true? Or is it still true? And I said, well, I don't know what RuPaul's Drag Race stance on San Francisco drag is, but I will tell you that statistically speaking, this is going into the 10th year, and there's been exactly one girl from San Francisco on the entire show. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, there's like four girls from New York every year for the last several years, pretty much. Mm-hmm. There's a girl from Atlanta every year. There's a girl from Puerto Rico every year. There's like right. a girl from, you know,
Boston.
Orlando's got lots of people who's been on the show. I mean, you know, and you think about the gay world, even if they don't think that she's going to do terribly well, you would think that San Francisco still has some cachet as a city and they would want to do something right. from here, but there's been one girl on. So
speaking of which, if you were to see some queen from San Francisco on the show, who do you think you would like to see?
If I was to see somebody from San Francisco on the show, who would I want to watch?
Or who do you think would be great?
I think Malay would be great. I think Malay Balenciaga would be great on the show. I think she would do, I mean, her performance is incredible. She has lots and lots of costumes. She has an over-the-top personality. I think that I don't know that people would love her as a personality on right. the show. Malay has a real competitive streak, which I think would serve her extremely well on the show, but I don't know that it would, I don't know that it would make her, portray her as the person she would like people right. to see her as. Who else would I like to see from San Francisco?
I think now that they're opening, well, now that they say they're opening doors for trans people to do the show, I think Kipper would be amazing on the show. Kipper would obviously be able to make all her shit.
Yeah, for sure. I still don't think that they're opening the door completely to trans people, though. Trans women.
Well,
I mean, I don't know that. Like, yes, you know, we've had this conversation before, which we don't really need to revisit, but I don't think it's quite as open as people would imagine.
Right, because, I mean, Peppermint is still on the show dressing as a boy.
Right,
so.
Well, I think what that speaks to is when she was on the show, she was identifying as trans already, but we know that trans, you can not have done anything surgical or anything, and you can identify as and be trans.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. What I'm saying is, like, identify, and identity-wise, she identifies as a woman and as a trans person, but she was not actually physically representing or reflecting that at the time that she was on the show, perhaps.
Well, I guess we'll never know unless we interview her, I guess.
So, right, exactly. So, but, which, of course, by the way, you guys, I had a sneaking suspicion when we had her on the show that she had been on since she'd been cast on Drag Race. But we didn't want to address it because it would have caused real problems for her. And that was not something we wanted to do at the time. So, if Kipper were allowed, I think she's definitely beautiful. She can certainly sew her ass off and make lots of costuming. I think that she's funny and sweet and very likable.
Yeah.
I think that she would do very well. I just look, you know, I don't know who, I mean, I...
She obviously
me, I want to be on the show.
Well, I'm not saying who you would want to be on the show. Right. You know.
I think I would do great on the show, by the way. But I think that everybody brings different strengths. So I think that...
Yeah.
I think...
Can you sew?
I can make an outfit, but I can't sew. But we've already seen that sewing is only one challenge on the show.
Lately, yeah. Like, the show's completely changed.
Girl, I think that right now on the show... As long as you
like,
can...
I feel like the runway looks have been less important this season than in previous seasons.
I think that... You know, I think that if you can get past the one sewing challenge... This is the problem with that fucking sewing challenge. Every single year... It's not that girls can't sew. It's that they're not original or creative at all when whatever they put together. It's like... Yeah. If you can't sew and you make that public and you walk down the runway with some... piece of cloth tacked onto your outfit just to like make it look like you put something together. It looks like a fucking piece of cloth tacked on your outfit. If you can't sew, do something creative. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Make some kind of a tutu by hot glue and shit, or make it look couture. There's a million ways to get around the fact that you can't actually sew an entire outfit. But these bitches don't have any creativity about
it. Yeah.
So,
but you know what? I bet you a lot of girls go in with that same mindset. And then when they get to that challenge, it's like, oh, I can't sew.
Girl.
And girl.
You know what? Like I said before, I can't sing. But if I was on that show and they told me to sing, bitch, I'd be, oh!
Right. You better make it work.
I'd be giving whatever I could.
The occasion, girl, yes.
I mean, you know, it's there's a lot of things that they know in advance. Everyone who's a fan of drag already knows. Like, there's no one person who does everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bianca Del Rio, one of the most popular performers on that show ever. One, she can't sing. So, you know, if they had her do, you have to play to your strength. If they have her do a singing challenge, she has to do what she can do and make it through. There's other people who have been on the show who can't do XYZ, but they were amazing in general, so that whatever it is that their weakness is, you just have to, like, you just have to be safe that week. You know what I mean? And rise to the occasion elsewhere. I don't know. I really think that for a long time I've felt like Malay would be a fantastic choice for the show. Yeah. I think that there are other... Like, I think that in a year or two, I think Amora would be really great. Amora Tees would be really great on the show. She's learning to sew. She's... I think one of the big things that a lot of younger girls will have to overcome is I think that too many young performers are caught up in the idea of being beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And on the show, it's been proven that you have to kind of be, you have to be able to not take yourself so seriously. You have to look ugly sometimes. You have to, you
know. Or else you're going to end up looking like Aja girl.
So, anyway.
And well, I think that's what would happen if you put, like, a girl that's too new on the show. You would end up looking just like Aja. Like, you're, you know, your shit don't, you think your shit don't stink. That you're just this star girl and can't nobody tell you nothing.
So, well, we'll get to that. That's much more on that line of, anyway, didn't you have something you wanted? We were going back to Facebook drama, girl.
Oh, girl, I want you, I'm going to show.
Oh, damn,
I'm
hold
show
on.
I'm going to show Poyo this specific Facebook drama.
Oh, God.
And we'll be right back.
Hold on. You damn. Got... Oh, what happened?
Nothing. I just got to go back to it.
So, actually, you guys, this Facebook drama, she asked me when she arrived today. She goes, did you see blah, 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 blah on Facebook? And I was like, I didn't want to say it, but how would I possibly see it? I blocked that shit. I blocked that ass, so.
Right.
I mean, actually, I blocked this person a while back. To the best of my knowledge, we're all good now. Like, you know, we talked about this or whatever. This is my attitude on things. We can be totally good, but it doesn't mean I want to, like, unlock the door for more bullshit if it happens. So sometimes it's best just not to be connected on Facebook. So, because it's much easier at times to like people from afar. You know what I mean?
Oh, I prefer to like everyone from afar.
That's obvious from...
I hung out with my friends. My real friends, you know.
Like three of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's better to have, you know.
So, where is it, girl?
Okay, it's a lot, girl.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
So, we'll be back after Poyo reads this.
Okay, you guys, we're going to take a break so I can take a look at what's going on. Bitch, we are back. Pearl just wasted like 7 minutes of my life with drama between a whole bunch of nobodies. So, so what Pearl actually referenced was a Facebook thread where somebody called out other people for cyberbullying. Uh-huh. And I think it was based on what we were actually just talking about, unbeknownst to me, because I personally didn't see this thread until Pearl brought it to my attention. But like I said, there's constantly rumors going around in the city that this person is stealing or that person is mm-hmm. doing this or this, whatever. I don't pay no mind to it because I try not to associate with people. A, if they're not that trustworthy, girl, you're not going to be around my bullshit. Like I said. But second of all, like, unless it happens to me, I ain't posting it on Facebook to begin with, even if it does, because I'm going to deal with that shit directly. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole bunch of people, some who don't even live in this fucking city, who look for every opportunity to, like, gain some kind of, like, relevance or put their name in a conversation just by not only looking like a troll, but being a troll on Facebook. And it's just like, why do you have to do this, you guys?
I think this comment kind of hit the nail on the head. This is what I was saying earlier.
So, based on this comment, I've known Charisma Glitterati for a long time. Jose Mercado, known her for a very, very long time. She moved here from Boston, and she became a Miss Gay San Francisco.
Come on, full background.
She's somebody I've known for a long time. She doesn't do drag very much anymore, but she definitely has a loyal following of boys that she parties with and, you know, travels to circuit parties with and whatever. She comments, SF drag showing how community is done. The world is so much bigger than all this, girls. At first reading, this was entertaining, then it got super sad. Hope resolution brings clarity and you can focus on building bridges instead of tearing each other apart. It's an ugly thing to stay pressed. Bitch, it sure is. And you know what? Jose, I agree with you. And the fact of the matter is, like I said, if you got a problem with somebody, like, this whole thread that we just read through, there's only two different responses. One is like trying to put each other down, like, you're this and that, and you ain't nothing, and whatever. I'm cashing checks. I'm cashing checks.
Yes, cashing checks.
First of all, as a drag performer, the one thing we hate the most is having to cash a check, because that means you have to claim your drag money, first of all. But go ahead, cash your checks, do whatever you gotta do. But I'm like, it's like, I'm cashing checks, and you're just up there doing this and that. And I'm like, first of all, why is this, if this is about somebody else's drama, why is it about you suddenly? Because you're not, like, there's no relevance going on here, and thusly, you got to get up in somebody else's business. But my favorite thing is when somebody gets in somebody else's business and then says, why are you up in somebody else's business? Well, bitch, this isn't your business either, is it? How about taking several seats yourself? It's like, but the whole matter about this is that people are accusing somebody of stealing, and then people are saying all kinds of hateful stuff about it. And I just read through this thread. Almost every single person who was talking about, like, you're doing too much, you're, like, you're being vicious and mean, and, like, you shouldn't get involved in this drama, had all made posts that are drama about the same situation in the past. Right. And I'm like, why is it okay when you do it, but not so okay when somebody else does it? And beyond that, like, why does this need to play out on Facebook?
Why?
That's the question. Like, ultimately, why does it... And the best part is, this original post said, y'all some cyberbullying bitches. And then they were like, I know, right? And then they promptly cyberbullied each other for, like, right. Like a dozen...
It was all day.
100 fucking posts.
It was all day.
You know, what I say about that is very simple. Bitch, if you're cashing so many checks, you don't have enough time. Like, during your day. You know what? I constantly say this. Why did I not know about this post? Why do I not know about other people's posts? Because I'm busy as fuck. I do not have time to be trolling other people's Facebook. I got shit going on. Like, you know what? That's not how adults handle situations.
No, isn't it? It's so nasty.
It's not only nasty, but it's like juvenile, and it's and it just speaks really poorly. Like I said earlier in this podcast, it speaks really poorly of like all of the people. Markel Ashford commented on this, talking about like, you know what? Everybody has a past. If you got a problem, like with somebody, take it to that person. And I will say I'm disappointed that one of the people who was like the first, one of the first ones to jump on this thread, talking about one person possibly like stealing, is somebody who recently should be very understanding of what it's like to get accused of stealing shit, because they were also accused
of stealing not too long ago, girl.
On Facebook. And it's like, you're going to be the one to jump into this mess? Why don't you all have a fucking seat?
Right.
You guys, the rumors about me on Facebook are that I'm an evil whore. I'm an evil whore. It's not a fucking rumor. If somebody tells you that I'm an evil bitch, probably believe them. But until I'm an evil bitch to you, don't worry about it. It's none of your fucking business.
Right.
Because what? I'm too busy cashing checks to worry about what you're doing, bitch. I'm cha-ching, cash the check. Cha-ching, cash the check. Bitch.
Yes, girl.
It's like, girl, sit down. Like, if you, like, really, just get a fucking life. This is the kind of shit that fucking middle school children do.
Yeah, yeah.
Middle school and high school children. You know why? Because they got a lot of time to spend on Facebook, and they got nothing better going on. Grown-ups really don't generally do this shit. Real people have real shit going on. And, like, I don't understand it. Like, if you, like... Do you, like, it's one of the things why, for example, like, if you want to live your life like Facebook is TMZ and they're covering your life, go right ahead, girl. If you want to live your life like you're on reality TV, but ain't nobody actually tuned into that shit, and you want to make drama all the time on Facebook, like you're the evil villain on the fucking, you know, The Apprentice Part 17 or whatever.
You're real lonely, girl.
Go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
But, like... And this isn't specifying or trying to single out any one individual, because there was at least a dozen grown adults on this stupid thread doing the fucking most. But it's just like, really, you guys, some of you are in real positions of potential influence in this city, and you're doing this? This is how you want to spend your time?
Wait, hold on. Let me scroll back through and see who's possibly influential in this post. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, my God. Whatever. Pearl's being shady as fuck, because she knew exactly who I was talking about. But, it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that, like, grown-ups don't act like this,
you guys. They don't.
Like, it's sad. Like, you know, and I agree completely with Charisma. And let me say this. In full disclosure, Charisma and I have a very storied past.
Like, girl, why am I not surprised?
No, well, so listen.
Here we go. I want to know the scoop.
Well, listen, and, you know, I'm not ashamed of my past either, but, like, I tried, it was my 33rd or 34th birthday or something like that. This shit was 10 years ago. If you can't have an experience and, like, go through some drama or whatever and move on and, like, be grown-ups about it, you're not a human. So, many, many years ago, my first year of drag... Cookie Dough, our friend Cookie Dough, hosted a birthday party for me. She hosted the Monster Show. It was my birthday party. That was kind of like, it was themed. She picked some dreadful theme. It was like Drag Queens of the Stone Age, some bullshit. Charisma and her group of friends, and I and my group of friends, without knowing it, chose the same song.
Oh.
Without knowing it, had come up with a very similar theme to, like, perform this to the song.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't know, because we weren't really, like, we were all really new, and so our social circles were not really that overlappy or whatever at that time. I had no idea. They had no idea. And when we showed up, they were in the dressing room, and I was opening the show because it was my birthday show, and they got furious because they were like, you stole our idea. Now, to Charisma's credit, I don't think that she was... the one who was like the ringleader of this. Yeah. I think that she was there. She was part of the number, because BB Sweetbriar was also part of their number. And BB and I've never had an issue about this. Like, I'm going to tell you something. We've said it before on the show. queens, there's only so many ways you can think of certain things. Right. Like, and when for this particular performance, it was the song Man Eater by Nelly Furtado, and we did it as cannibals. It's pretty, like, direct. It's not like we came up with something super wildly creative about it. And so it became this huge conflict. And it was a third party who I don't need to feel the need to discuss because she's no longer even on the scene anywhere. And I actually heard she's doing really well somewhere far away and probably not even doing drag anymore. But I hope she is doing well. But, like, it became this huge thing. Well, thankfully, I mean, it played out by word of mouth and it was horrible and drama and people kept asking about it and whatever. But at the time, we didn't have Facebook. And I would like to, you know, and maybe when we were 10 years ago, we would have put it on social media, MySpace or whatever. Mm-hmm. Bitch put it on Friendster. I can't believe!
Friendster! I've never had one of those.
But I didn't have a Friendster either. But, you know, the thing is, like, we're grown fucking people now. Right. You know? And we put that shit behind us. And every time Charisma and I see each other, we kiki and whatever. But it's obvious, like, she's grown since that experience because she looked at this and realized how pathetic it looks for us. Like, these grown-ass people in San Francisco bitching and moaning and calling each other names like they're 10-year-olds. Now, really, though. Now, some of those people on this thread are very young, and so you can, like, maybe give them a little bit of a pass because they're youngsters or whatever. But some of them are not that young, and, like, you know, come on now. You just need to stop it. I really think that if you got a problem with somebody...
Tyra Banks said, stop it!
If you got a problem with somebody, just go take it up with them. And, oh, this is the other thing. They were either calling each other names or threatening each other. Like, wait till I see you, bitch. I'll show you. Really? First of all, you're 3 foot tall. I don't think so.
Well, they were both 3 feet tall.
So, oh, I guess then they're more threatening. It's like little people wrestling.
You know, have you been watching Little Women Atlanta?
No, bitch.
Girl.
No.
Yeah.
Are they fist fighting on there?
Sometimes they do.
No. No. I'm sorry. But back in the day when it was still called midget wrestling, that was a thing on
midget
WWF.
Midget is not okay to say.
I said back in the day when it was called midget wrestling. That's what they were called back in the day. On, like, historically speaking. So now, like, I guess Little Women and little people fighting in Atlanta is no different than whatever, Hornswoggle in the WWE doing his tadpole splash off the top rope.
Oh, no.
Whatever. You guys, it's sad when grown people cannot act like grown people. That's really what it comes down to, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I would like to tell you that I don't engage in those kind of shady commentary or whatever. But I can't say that. That it's human nature that you talk shit about people. That is true. But there's a difference between doing it with your friends and doing it on a fucking social media. It's just not necessary. It just looks bad. And by the way, you guys, I don't know if you are aware of this, but I was talking about this with another friend of mine who is like a professional. He's a working professional. He has like a professional job. He's a manager at a major company. And he posts like, and this isn't about like talking shit about people. This is talking about like just like the kind of pictures he posts of himself, like sort of like splayed out, like in his underwear. It looks like a Grindr picture, but it's actually his Facebook picture. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you do know that employers these days will look you up on social media and see how you conduct yourself in your personal life before they consider you for a job. All of these people, like, participating in this, okay, of course, some of these bitches will never get a private sector job or any kind of, like, professional job because they can't, obviously, handle themselves professionally. But some of them do. And it's like, some of them have these professional jobs, and you're acting like this?
Who?
Some of them have, some of those people have professional jobs.
Oh.
But, I mean, like, not all of them, but some of them. Hmm. And even engaging in some of this stuff, it's like, girl, bye. I mean, Charisma's got a professional job.
Yeah, why? I mean, she doesn't count.
She, Charisma, you don't count. Whatever. I mean, she's a like a healthcare provider at Stanford University, I believe. Yeah. She's like very skilled at what she does. You know, it's something to take into consideration. Like some of these girls are like, oh, well, this is on my drag profile. Well, that's fine, bitch. But if people know who you are in drag, they're still going to look at that too. If I was like, you know, if I was an employer and I had the option of hiring somebody who was like low drama and somebody that's high drama, Girl, if you're talking shit about anyone and everyone on your Facebook, you know any smart employer is going to be like, we're not bringing this person in because they're going to stir up drama and they're going to put it on social media because they clearly don't have any kind of reservation about what is or is not proper conduct. I mean, fucked up. Y'all, act like grown-ups.
That's the moral of the story, you guys.
Act like grown-ups. Just act civil. There's, what is so wrong with acting civil? The other thing about me, too, you guys, the people that I actually dislike, I almost never say anything shady about them. I almost never mention them. The people that I actually, the people I actually say the shady stuff about are people I absolutely love. Because it's a joke then. Like, if I don't like somebody or haven't got the time for them, I legitimately don't have time to even, like, be bothered with them. They might slip in every now and then as, like, a little zinger or whatever. But, like, I've had people be like, oh, you were talking about me. And I was like, girl, I don't even, like, I might as well not even know you. Because, bitch, like, you know, not only am I not going to talk about you, but... like, I wouldn't walk across the room and piss down your throat if your guts were on fire.
Oh, my goodness. Ew.
That was a quote from Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh.
But still, that I, you know what? My version of that statement is an old one, but long before there was a Real Housewives of Atlanta. I would not walk across the street to piss on you if you were on fire, bitch. Right. I would not be bothered. You know? No. So, the fact is, like, I am shady... like, you guys, I'm sure many of you who follow me on social media have probably seen about once a week, I go on my daughter Sandra Rose's page and post something shady as fuck. And then it just, like, incites all of her friends to, like, be shady to her. But it's all in good fun. It's totally different than ripping somebody to shreds and not whatever. I do it on Perliqua's page every month or two or three. But these are people I love. Like, I don't...
And, girl, I just don't do that. I'm, you know, I don't post any... I'm not shady at all.
Unless you're somebody who thinks that you're her friend, and she's like, oh, well, gotta go, my real friends are hanging out with me today. Oh,
girl, my bad. That's not shady. That is not shady, girl.
Like, oh, Pearl, I just love you. I'm so glad we're friends. Oh, well, that's nice, bitch, but I got my real friends. Okay, gotta go, bar acquaintance.
She would live.
You are so upset, girl. Leave it alone.
Girl, it's so shady. So, she's like, I'm not shady at all. Well, tell that to any bitch who thought they were your friend until they heard this interview.
Girl, whatever, girl. Whatever, bitch.
Bitch, I live.
All right, you guys, we're going to take a break. And when we come back,
we'll talk. We'll catch you up with RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes, we're going to recap the last episode of RuPaul's Drag Race on this episode of Party Foul Radio. I'm Poet Omar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
We'll be back in a moment.
Hallelujah, this is Shangela, and you're listening to Party Foul Radio with Polio and Pearl, honey. Hallelujah.
Clock the bag.
Clock the bag.
Clock the shoe.
Clock the shoe.
Now punch the clock. It's time to work.
All right, you guys, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm Poet Omar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
And now it is time for our weekly update on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Spoiler alert.
Yes. If you guys have not watched the most recent episode, which was the 90210 episode.
Come on, hoes.
Now would be a good time for you guys to fast forward a little bit, okay? But most of you have probably seen it. And before Pearl even gets to the point of asking me, no, bitch, I did not watch Untucked.
Girl, what is wrong with you?
I know. How about I'll be honest. I only half watched this episode, too, because I was working that night and I haven't watched the recap. Like, I haven't watched it on demand. But I watched enough of it that I can talk about it fairly intelligently.
Girl.
So, this episode, in particular, they had as guest hosts or judges and whatever.
That Tori Spelling.
Yes, Tori Spelling and Jenny Garth. Was Jenny Garth pregnant?
No.
She wasn't?
Not that I noticed.
She looked awful thick. I thought she was pregnant.
I didn't see. Girl, you might, I didn't clock that.
But. So, okay. I was like... So, anyway, so they had those two on, and they were directing a parody of course, 90210, using all the girls from the show. And Peppermint was the one who got to assign the roles, right?
Yes.
So, Peppermint Why did Peppermint pick the role she picked then? If she, like...
I have no idea, girl.
Girl, I didn't find her role very interesting. So the girls are cast as characters from 90210, and Jenny and Tori were directing the scenes and whatnot. Right. So what were your thoughts on it, Pearl? I know that some... I will say this. As the acting challenges on the show go, I thought it was one of the funnier pieces. You know what I mean? I don't know. At least it was...
Yeah, I really can't stand the acting challenges, because, you know, I don't really like that camp shit.
Right. Well, I
will say this. That for Aja to have done so bad after she threw that temper tantrum to get the role she got, girl... Like, you deserve to go home. I'm glad she was the one that went home.
Well, there you go. Pearl done already jumped to the very end, bitch.
I mean, how do you throw a temper tantrum about getting a role and you screw it up?
So...
And then come down the runway looking probably the best you've ever looked. And, you know, because you've done so bad, you still gotta go home, girl.
So, okay, you guys. So, going back, the skit was really, really well done in terms of showcasing a whole bunch of characters. One of the things... Now, I do love these acting challenges. I think that the scripts are really bad. I think that the scripts are notoriously bad on the show. But as I was telling a friend of mine today, one of the reasons why I think that that actually can play to the advantage of some of the girls is the reality for acting is you're not always going to get good scripts. But think about it. For the listeners out there, think about this. You've seen a lot of TV shows and... Like, the writing is bad, and you can acknowledge the writing is bad, but think about when you watch a bad TV show, those one or two people that stand out from those bad TV shows, you're like, okay, that person's a star, because they managed to make something that was bullshit
work.
You know what I mean? And that's a star quality, because even if something is really dreadful, if you can make it funny or good in some capacity, that shows that you've got charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. And if you take something that could be a great role and you turn it into absolute shit, right, that means you gotta go.
That means you need to go home.
But, so, some of the standouts this episode, Shea Coulee killed it as basically the Andrea Zuckerman.
So did Trinity. Trinity did amazing.
And Trinity as the mom, like the cool mom, whatever.
Hilarious, type of girl.
She was hilarious. So, this is something that I actually tweeted Trinity today, and she liked the tweet. I said that one of the things, you know, I've been on the fence about her, you guys.
I live for her, girl.
A lot of people live for her. I've been on the fence with her. She initially didn't do a lot for me, but one of the things that I absolutely love is a girl who has some diversity. And she has the ability to be gorgeous on the runway, to, like, slay the runway. And she, you know that there's a lot of things up her sleeve because she's, you know, a pageant queen and she's got all this experience. But she is not afraid to look ridiculous in her acting challenges. And I think that's really, really important. A lot of girls, especially new ones, get stuck on pretty.
I mean, pheromone.
Pheromone. Like, a lot of these girls, they get stuck on pretty. And pretty is great. Pretty is good. Like,
but when the challenge is not look pretty... Girl, that's not what you need to be focusing on.
Or when the challenge is actually to show any kind of range of character or range of ability, if all you can do is turn out pretty, it's not going to do you very well.
Right.
You know, I think Pearl doesn't like camp drag. I love camp drag. And the reason I think that...
Is because she's a camp queen, girl.
Me?
Yes.
Well, I think that there's more to me than just camp.
Really?
Yes. I can absolutely do glamour. I can absolutely do pageantry. I think that more than anything, I'm a comedy queen. I think I'm a funny person. I do comedy, and so that can come across in many ways. You can be gorgeous and be comedic, or you can be, like, really, really campy. I think one of the reasons that Drag Race, over the last several years, has pushed farther and farther into these acting challenges is because if you want to take your drag career outside of a nightclub scene where you just perform a lip sync on stage, that means you have to be able to act. You have to be able to portray all kinds of characters. You have to be able to do more. I mean, why do you think it is that these girls' ability to actually lip sync is the last thing you only get to see that, really, if they're about to go home? You only know what these girls can do in terms of what you'll get in a bar environment when they're about to go home. And it's because of the fact that to be a fully marketable personality and character, there has to be a lot more than just that. Or you can be pretty. I mean, Kamora Black, gorgeous, beautiful. But what else is there? You know, it was proven very early on.
She was dumb as rocks, girl.
So, I mean, somebody like Trinity Taylor, who is not afraid to, like, take some silly role that other people might have been too afraid to go into, and she just...
Turns it out.
She went there. Shea Coulee, it's...
Another one. Turns it out,
you
girl.
Don't... She doesn't need to remind you that she can be stunning or beautiful on the runway. You, like, this challenge was... She was about playing some old pregnant bitch at the prom, you know what I mean? Whatever.
Right.
She turned it out. And then... You know, the runway is when you're supposed to be beautiful.
Right.
You know what I mean? Unless you're doing something campy on the runway, too, and you don't... That's not your focus, which is fine. You can do that as well. But, you know, she turns it out on the runway, and then she steps up to the plate when it's appropriate for what you're going to see during a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did not get to see all of the... I didn't get to watch the final product. When they showed the, like, edited version of the thing. But I will tell you that what I saw of Aja, it was flat as fuck. Like,
oh, girl, you know, terrible.
You're supposed to be the mean girl, and you're supposed to be all this, and whatever. And it just came across as really, really, really flat. I also have to say that as much as I love Peppermint, I thought her performance was pretty flat, too.
Yeah.
She's a bitch. Like, that's about all I remember. Right. Like, you know...
Who did she lip-sync against? She lip-synced against...
Who did Aja lip-sync against? It was... The bottom two were Aja and Nina Bonina Brown.
Nina Bonina, yeah.
So Nina Bonina Brown came down the runway looking sickening. She looked incredible. She
did. She was. I lived for her
look. I loved her look. And...
They both had great looks,
actually. They both looked very good. Now, it comes down to the bottom two... The winner of the challenge was it Trinity?
It was Trinity.
So Trinity wins the challenge playing the cool mom or whatever, like the mom who's like hijacking the date, right. And like drunk and all this stuff.
And girl, she hijacked the show.
So, and then the bottom two turn out to be Nina Bonina Brown and Aja. So the interesting fact about this to me is on this season, they happen to be two of the queens who are known as being more artistic in terms of the way they paint.
Yeah. Aja's known for being artistic in the way she paints?
She's known for having a range of looks. Like, not just...
Maybe costume-wise. I don't know about her face, girl.
Well...
Her face is busted, girl.
Well, this is what I will say about... Like, she got her biggest compliment of the season on this particular episode when Michelle says... You look the best you've ever looked. Now, that's great. When your best compliment you receive the entire season is that you've blended, because that's what that's what she said. You finally blended, like blah, 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 blah. You look like a drag queen, blah, blah.
Right.
You're on Drag Race. Blending should not be something somebody should be reminding you about on the runway.
Right.
So they lip sync, and honestly, watching the lip sync, I thought Aja was going to get the nod because I thought that Aja was doing a lot more.
Aja's
like a really, really talented lip sync artist.
She's a good performer.
Yes.
But she's also a stunt queen, in my opinion. Like, she gets on stage and she does these stunts.
Right.
And, you know, that alone does not make, you know, her a better performer.
So they lip sync against each other and... I felt that it was kind of 50-50.
I thought
Aja was in the lead, if you will, at the beginning of the lip sync. But by the end, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Nina Bonina has come back. And it was kind of 50-50. If I had to guess why Aja went home over Nina Bonina Brown, I would not say the obvious, because Nina Bonina Brown is more drama. You know, they got that whole storyline with her. Is she going to have self-confidence or is she not? What I would say is I think that overall they see more potential in range from Nina Bonina Brown.
And they're more excited about what she's going to have.
I definitely see that as... Because Nina Bonina Brown has that wow factor. You don't know how she's going to walk out onto that runway.
I would definitely want to keep her over Aja.
I love that idea that as a performer... you don't know what you're going to get from somebody. Mm-hmm. And I think that it makes a person very interesting. I think that, you know, one week she can come out and she can be beautiful and glamorous. And then she comes out and she's a lion or a cat or whatever the hell she was.
Yeah.
And
that was so sickening.
It was exciting. She looked fantastic. So I think ultimately they are more interested in what she brings to the table
than
in the long run than Aja. So Aja went home and, you know, we're down to however many queens now, but it was a matter of, you know, you actually called it. You said you thought the next one to go home was going to be Aja.
Yep.
You called it. Pearl called it last week, you guys. I did not, you know, I didn't see that one coming, but I'm still trying to figure out how Pheromone is, like, skating past, bitch.
She is skating, girl. But you know, like, when it comes down to the wire, they're going to have to get rid of her. Because there's no way she's going to be able to compete against contenders like Nina and Trinity and Shay and...
I mean, like... I think that...
Even Alexis.
Right. Well, I think where Farrah is... Bitch, Farrah got real fucking lucky that they gave her a pass because Eureka had to go home.
Right.
Because she would have been...
She would have gone home that episode.
She sure would have. She would have been out that episode, so...
Collect your coins, girl.
Congratulations. You better cash your checks, bitch. Right. Cash those checks, bitch. Oh, she's cashing checks, bitch.
Shut up.
But, you know, she is one of those people that... In the reality TV...
I think she is so cute to watch, though. Because she cries. And like, she's such a baby.
She is. She's such a baby. She's a young performer. She comes across as very youthful, very young.
Yeah. She was born in 93, girl.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah. So how old is she?
23, 24, yeah. At most. She was probably maybe even younger when she was on the show. Maybe 21, 22. When they were taping it. Anyway... She is one of those girls that I'm optimistic that after some experience and after some
seasoning...
She'll
be like Tatiana. She'll be like Tatiana. How, like, Tatiana was just this pretty girl at first, and then a couple years later, she's, you know, a force to be reckoned with.
Right, exactly. So, I do think...
And I just have to say, if she ever jumped on hormones, she would be beautiful.
Yeah, she would transition beautifully.
Right.
So... the other thing, what I was going to point out is that she is benefiting from one of the realities of a competition series. There are many things, like the way reality TV works. Sometimes people who are really like could be contenders fuck up really badly, mm-hmm. and then they're on the chopping block. And depending on what's going on, people who may be a stronger competitor in the long run. Get the unexpected boot.
Right.
And then there are people, you see it all the time on, like, Project Runway, for example, is one of the prime examples of where I remember seeing it the most. There's these people who are, like, sort of middle of the road, and they never do super well, and they never do super terrible. They just sort of, like, skate past,
they coast,
and
yeah.
they coast in the middle, and then they get quite far sometimes because other people are, like, because they're not taking any risks. That, like, the one thing about, like, really competitive people is sometimes they're like, I'm gonna bet it all on this one, bitch. I'm gonna, like, and then it does not hit the mark, and next thing you know, they're, like, sitting at home watching some busted bitch on TV, like, two episodes later than they are, like, going, oh, I'm so pissed right now. But, you know, people do this really safe thing, and they just stay in the middle, and somehow they get almost to the end, and you're like, I don't even barely remember anything you've done, and you're in the top five? You know, like, how's that possible?
Right.
But I do not foresee in the long run that Farrah could compete with...
any of the girls that are left.
Well, I mean, I think that Shay is clearly a front runner right now.
Yeah.
Trinity has become a front runner. I think Alexis is... I'm a fan of Alexis.
I can't remember anything Alexis has worn down the runway except for that coat because of her attitude.
I think that Alexis brings a lot to the table, so we'll see.
I think Sasha Velour is a much better contender than Alexis.
Well, I think that Sasha Velour, I think that Nina Bonina.
Yeah.
I love Peppermint. Peppermint was girl. We've seen we've seen that Farrah has a not so impressive lip sync, so
right.
You better stay safe, bitch, for now, because otherwise,
if you end up at the bottom of Peppermint Girl, you're going home.
If you end up at the bottom of pretty much any of those girls,
seen Sasha lip sync yet, though.
I have not. Well, we might not ever see Sasha lip sync.
Yeah, because she's just so creative. Yeah.
So, you know,
oh, and her story came out. Sasha's story came out. I don't know if that was in the Untucked or if that was on the actual show.
It could have been on the actual show. I didn't see it. What was her story?
So the reason why she does bald drag is because her mother had cancer.
Oh, wow.
And
bald is beautiful.
Yeah, and it was just so touching and kind of sad.
Well,
but it was amazing. Anyway.
Well, that, you know, I recently saw Angina and Sasha together.
I would love to see a show with them together.
Well, first of all, like the height difference is like a full foot, but Angina, of course, is a huge fan of Sasha because of the bald thing.
Uh-huh.
But Angina's not bald all the time anymore, you guys. Angina,
yeah, she wears wigs every once in a while.
I just remember her. She told me years ago when I first met her. You guys, we are actual real life friends. Angina and I are. But
you guys have to remember, me and Poyo's definitions of friends are clearly different, as you couldn't tell from the
right. Well, she stayed at my house, so like I've stayed at her house in LA. She stayed at my house here. I went with her when she signed her lease for her apartment when she moved to San Francisco. I mean, I'm not saying we're best friends, you guys, but like, you know, she'd call me if she was in town. So
okay.
So anyway, Angina told me years and years ago, because I met her through MySpace, true story.
Oh, wow.
After the first season, because that's, you know, it was almost 10 years ago. So, and I asked her when we first met, like, why don't you wear wigs? And she's tiny. She's like 5'3".
If that.
And like very, very tiny. So she said that unless she does something really, really extravagant on her face, like makeup wise, which she did not do at that time, if she wears hair, everybody just thinks she's a girl. They don't even notice that it's a drag queen at all.
Understandable.
So she did the, like, you know, the little hats and the bald thing to make it very clear that she was a drag performer and not just a girl. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that. Yeah. Wow.
I mean, well, when you're teeny tiny like that, and you know what I mean?
That, you know, such small features.
Yeah. She's super beautiful when she puts her makeup and, you know, like. She's very passable, very, like, you wouldn't even notice. I mean, the other thing is, even when she's in drag sometimes, because she's so tiny, even with heels, you can be in a crowded bar, and you're, like, trying to get her to the stage, and nobody even sees her, because she's, like, below people's shoulders. So, by the way, she did say that hopefully this month sometime she'll be on the show. She'll come on the podcast and talk to us. And we will have to ask her about her love for Sasha Velour.
Yeah, so, come on, yeah. Bald Queen June Knight.
So, yes! I mean, I love that. Good for you girls. I like rocking a bald head every now and then, too. I think that that's a fun... I think it's a fun look. If you don't have hair, it's an option for you. You know, it's like... And it's something that you can do fun. So, I just think that Sasha Velour is very creative. I think that...
She is.
I think that a lot of the girls on this season are very creative in different ways. You know what I mean? Some of them are very creative in their physical presentation. Some of them are very creative in their interpretation of things like acting challenges or...
Some of them are just artistically creative, yeah.
Yeah, and once again, you guys, I think that Valentina is rapidly becoming a front-runner contender on this show. She's very, very smart.
I think it's kind of obvious that Valentina can't win, but I think...
Why do you think it's obvious she can't win?
Because, I mean, she's not going to beat girls like Trinity and Shay.
Really?
It's just not going to happen. No.
I don't know that. I feel like I do.
I do feel like she's probably going to be like the breakout star of the show.
The reason I don't know that she can't beat these other girls is I think back to season two. You had on season two, the top three were Jujubee, Raven, and Tyra Sanchez.
That's true.
And so
you know what? If you look, well.
But so this is, hold on, hear me out and then see what you think if I put it in the way that I'm, like, if I put it in that context. So, you come into the final three of season two. It's Tyra, Raven, and Jujubee. Jujubee and Raven are wildly popular. Tyra, not so popular. Tyra had, like, a flat personality. She'd done beautifully in some challenges, but she kind of had a flat personality. All these things. And then I will never forget, like when it came down to the last minute, they come down the runway for like the final presentation. Jujubee had on this outfit that kind of looked like a prom dress. It was not very impressive. Mm. Raven had a look that was like, didn't do anything for me. And Tyra came down and she was snatched. Like, mm-hmm. in that. And so you get these three people, two of whom the audience would have taken 100 times over, Tyra. Right. Raven, who has proven since then to be one of the most successful stars. Jujubee is potentially the single most popular star in the show's ever history, if you mm-hmm. look at her Facebook likes and shit. And Tyra Sanchez. And it was that thing where if you judge them on an overall basis, like, Tyra probably wouldn't have won. But if you judge them on what you're seeing in that moment, Tyra pulled out into the lead at that last second just enough to cross the finish line. You know? And I think that...
I don't know about that. I don't know if I completely agree with that. Tyra did a lot of things that I think kind of proved that she should have won. Like, having looks that could turn three different ways and... hot glue gunning stuff to her skin to have better looks, you know. And she was beautiful. She was definitely annoying and definitely like someone I would never want to work with, but
girl, you don't have to worry about it because pretty much nobody wants to work with her at this right. point, poor thing.
However, she was just interviewed by T.S. Madison yesterday live.
Really?
Yeah. Although I might have to take that back about Valentina, because with the way Drag Race is now, the audience gets to pick, and Valentina does have a very huge fan base. And if it keeps going at the rate it's going now, Trinity does not show much of her a soft side.
Right.
Which I'm assuming, you know, a lot of people are not going to vote right. for that.
I mean, my thought on Valentina... But
Trinity is so much more talented than her, I think.
Well, I think that... I don't know. I'm not willing to co-sign that statement. I think that they're all talented in very diverse ways. I think that right now you're seeing a very diverse cast of girls who are like moving, you know, forward.
Mm-hmm. And can we count how many challenges has Valentina won?
She's won a couple.
I think she's maybe won one.
I think she's won one, maybe two.
Trinity has won two.
Two. Alexis Michelle won one. And Peppermint won one, I think. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the fact is what I see with Valentina is that, first of all, they made a big deal of the fact that she's been doing this 10 months and right. da da da. You know that Drag Race loves their ingenue story, girl. Right. Like the, oh, look, she's like the drag savant or right. whatever. They love that story. So, you know, it would not shock me if, like, I'll reserve a possible spot in the top three for her, because I think that she's shown enough creativity and originality that she could get there. We'll see, but...
I don't know. I like, even her last look, I was not featuring it.
The only one at this point that immediately comes to mind of the cast, that, you know, it's very possible I'm not even remembering some of these hoes, but, like, the only one that immediately comes to mind that I don't see going...
is Farrah.
Farrah. Yeah. Everybody else has got real significant edges in one area or another.
Yeah.
And one of the areas where I think Valentina excels that the other girls I haven't seen from them is that kind of editorial mindset. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. the fashion model mindset. Yeah. She thinks that way. And you can see that come across.
I think Sasha Velour can do that too, though.
Well, I think that... maybe she can, but what I'm saying is, like, that editorial look, that fashion model, like, look at the page of Vogue magazine or whatever shit. Uh-huh. I think that that is where Valentina gets a lot of her inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Sasha's inspiration would come from somewhere else. And do I yeah. think that all these girls, if they had to do something like that, could do it? Yes. But what I'm saying is that if I was to look for what Valentina's strength is, I think that if that...
that's what it is.
That's what it is. That editorial mindset. So, we will see. You guys, I will tell you that I think that this season is more interesting than a lot of past seasons. And I think that part of it is the fact that the girls all seem to be really giving it to you. Right. They're giving their all. And that is something that I respect because, mm-hmm. you know, my only issue is when you come on there and, like, you sort of half-ass things. Like, God love you, Charlie Hyde, but, like, that lip sync, like, ruined her for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you've got the most life experience of all these girls and what you're, like...
That's what you served.
What your final, like, message to everybody was is, like, I gave up. Do better than me.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, no. That's not cute. So, anyway. Oh, by the way, I don't want to promote it too heavily because she's competing against my show, which I don't really consider it a competition, but she'll be going on the same time as my show. Eureka O'Hara is going to be in town this weekend.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Huh.
So, you know, and I also realized that Eureka O'Hara has been following me for a, like, super duper long time on Twitter, and I had no idea.
Huh.
So, I'm going to try to, she's also managed by one of my friends, Jason King. I use the friend, not the way that, the term friend, not the way that Pearl would. Like, we're not super close, but I guess we're acquaintances.
Huh.
Whose home I stayed at when I was in LA. But, she's managed by him, Jason King, and I'm going to see if maybe we can get her on the podcast, but getting girls from the current season, you guys, is really difficult because they're under contract and everything has to go through World of Wonder and Logo. Well, maybe not Logo now, but... Anywho. All right, you guys. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have more Party Foul Radio. I'm Poya Delmar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
We'll be back in a moment.
Pay attention at the back there. Sister Bang Bang here, all the way from Manchester in the UK, the yuck. My little podcast radio show is called Chinwag, and each week I have a chinwag. That's a long chat for those of you who don't know your Chanel from your Balenciaga. You'll love it, though. It's full of malicious gossip from me and my special guest as we put the world to rights. Chinwag. And at the end, I have my own little epilogue, commenting on something which I hope makes you think, if you have that capacity. So, kids, get along to our website to hear Chinwag, www.themanchestersisters.org.
And hear me dish the dirt.
www.themanchestersisters.org.
You guys, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm your co-host, Poya Delmar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
And at this time, we are excited to have with us, he is the national director of Hunkamania and Diva Royale. I have worked with him for the last several months. He is launching Diva Royale and Hunkamania here on the West Coast in San Francisco. And I know that they recently did some outreach in Los Angeles as well. Please welcome to the show, Jeffrey Walkman. Hi, Jeffrey.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, you are currently in San Francisco. Tell us what brings you to town from New York.
I'm actually at rehearsal right now. Come down here so I could perfect some of the shows that we're doing. I'd like to see us do better here. Every once in a while, I'll pop up into a city just to do some, I guess you could call it quality control.
So what you're basically doing right now, you're working with the guys from Hunkamania. So you're like, no, I need you to pull your pants off like this, and I need you to, like, flap your dick like that.
Exactly.
So what is it that got you into...
Yeah, naturally, right now, I'm a crazy man, and so when I got down here, I assessed the crew, and I said to myself, you know what, well, we need a bigger black guy, so I'll go out to the gym every day, and I'll approach you guys, and I'll just walk right up to them and say, hey, what do you do for a living, you know? And they think I'm crazy at first, but when I actually offer them an opportunity where they can make a couple of $100 in just a few hours on a Saturday afternoon, they're like, I'm sold.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, what happened to Chocolate Thunder? He was, Lord, it doesn't get much bigger than that.
You should see this guy that we just recruited, and we call him Maximus. And there's several reasons why.
Oh, dear. So, Pearl, what were you going to ask?
What was it that got you into entertainment in the first place?
I was the manager for one of the oldest nightclubs in New York City, which is very famous for drag. It's called, it was called Escalita. I'm sure you guys have heard of it. Everybody has heard of it. When I became manager there, Hunkamania is a show. It's a very big show. It's a national company, but they can put that show on anywhere. It doesn't matter if it's a gay club or a straight club, as long as it's a big space. They were doing hundreds and hundreds of women at our club from the hours of 8 to 10 before we opened, and so I worked very closely with the owners, and they just loved how I worked with their customers, which they really didn't allow people to work with their customers, but they did allow me to work with them. And so they loved how I interacted with the customers, how I treated them, how I treated their employees. And when I had quit my job at that nightclub, they said, you know, we want you to work with us. And so I went out to Los Angeles and I opened up my first show. I learned a lot from that. And in the process, I had realized that they bought out the Diva Royale in New York City. And so I asked them if I could take that nationally like I was doing with Hulkamania, and they allowed me to do that. And it was probably one of the best decisions they've ever made, because now we're in six cities with Diva Royale and counting.
Wow. So which six cities around the U.S. is Diva Royale in?
So right now, after New York City, we started Philadelphia next, which I'm sure you guys are probably familiar with Mimi on first. She's my manager in Philadelphia. I love her. She's one of the most talented queens I've ever met. And so she runs that show for me there. We're already doing close to 100 girls. Like Saturday, we have probably about 100 girls for our show. And last week, we had like 80. So we're hitting those numbers now. That was our second city. Then the third one I started was Atlantic City, which is going really well. Chachi Devine, who was just on Say Yes to My Dress like a couple of weeks ago, who's getting married. I think she might have even been the first trans or drag. I'm sorry, I don't want to be incorrect politically. She was probably the first one on that show. Anyway, she's the manager there. And so yeah, that was the third location opened. And then after Atlantic City, we went out to New Orleans, which is Ivy Drip. She is my host and manager there. She does a phenomenal job. And then we started dabbling in San Francisco, which, of course, you know about because you are the manager of that show. And that's why I'm here as well, because I want to start pouring more efforts into San Francisco. And so it's important that I'm here, meet the rest of the crew and you, and we do some development together. And then recently, last week, with the help of you, and I want to say thank you, I was able to do my first show in Los Angeles. So there you go. We got six cities right now and counting. Orlando and Tampa will be coming up next. Miami as well. Hawaii. You know, several things in the making right now.
That is incredible. And unlike most of the cities, like here in San Francisco, you, like the first, I don't know, however many weeks we did it, Hunkamania and Divas Royale were sort of like combined, but usually they're two different shows, right?
Yeah, I thought it was a good idea for you as the manager to see the forum of how we run our shows. And Hunkamania and Diva Royale are basically ran in the same manner because they're both shows that are geared towards the bachelorette industry. However, not limited to, because gay guys, straight people, couples, they're all coming to see the show. And so we combined the shows, and the girls absolutely loved the idea of having drag queen performers and male strippers back-to-back, and it went really well.
Yeah, it was very interesting because most of the original first shows, more people were coming for the strippers than the drag performers, but by the end, like the last couple shows that we did, we had more, you know, people there for the girls than the boys. Yes. And I was like, yes, bitch, yes. That's what I'm talking about.
We never know. This business is so unpredictable. And I think that once word starts getting out here in San Francisco, and of course, once we start putting a little more into advertising, when we're comfortable with the show and the venue and everything like that, this thing's going to be a big deal. I mean, we're not here by accident. If you ever see me in any city, you know, place your bets, because that means it's happening.
Yeah. So now I know that you told me one time when we were talking, you're like, by the way, just so you know, I am gay, because people wonder. And I jokingly said on the show, I was like, you guys, he sounds so hot and so straight. What's that about?
I am probably one of the straightest gay guys you'll ever meet. I used to think
what does that mean? Hold on, girl. What does that mean, girl?
I don't dislike women. It's just, you know, I knew when I was a kid that I was gay. I just lived that whole social, pro-social lifestyle, and so I realized that I really don't give a fuck what anybody else was thinking. Is it okay to curse?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, girl, time out.
Hold on, Jeffrey, you're about to get read by my co-host.
I was thinking, and then I started to, you know, get comfortable in my own skin, and as soon as I realized that it wasn't just something I was curious about or something I was interested in, that I really was gay, I didn't pretend anymore, and I just, you know, I came out to everybody, which was a real shock, because if you know who I am, and a lot of people do, I'm kind of a little bit of a tough ass. And so people were like, get the fuck out of here. You know, they couldn't believe it.
Okay, girl, so time out. What does it mean being one of the most straightest, the gay guys you know?
Well, I mean, like, is besides the fact that I like dick and ass, I guess you could say I'm
gay. That's pretty gay.
I guess, I'm a regular guy, you know, and I am gay as hell, and I own that. I love being gay. I'm gay, you know, I'm part of that community. But I'm super masculine, and me being gay doesn't change the way I act or look. I am who I am, you know?
But girl, so have you not seen, like, the leather community? Most of the leather community is masculine as hell.
Yes, of course. So,
as well as the bear community.
Of course.
I mean, I kind of understand what... So, I'm going to, like...
Feminine does not equal gay, girl.
Yeah, I know some
and
feminine straight
masculine
guys.
Masculine does not equal straight.
No, I 100% I get it. I just mean, like, I'm a regular dude, you know?
Yeah, I think that... Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I'm like, I could totally take offense to it, but I'm not going to. But I think that...
Well, hopefully you don't, because I didn't mean anything, but...
No, I understand. I think that... There are a lot of people who would be frustrated by that because I'm like, girl, what was going on, babe? I think that it speaks to the... You're at El Toro still, huh? Jeffrey?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Oh, I said you're still at El Toro, huh? I can hear like the...
Yeah, I got the guys practicing.
So, what I was going to say is I think that the reason like people could like... take that the wrong way is it implies that other, like, that there's, like, something, what is normal and what's not normal and what's regular guy and what's...
What I mean by it is that nobody ever believes that I'm gay. It's like I have to sit there and scream into people's faces or, like, kiss my husband on the lips in public or something for people to actually believe it, you know? That's all I meant by it. Like, if you looked at me for a second, you'd stereotypically say, oh, he's not gay. You know what I mean? And that's what I meant.
Yeah, no, and I, the reason that I understand, I understand totally where you're coming from, but I actually, the interesting thing is I had a similar conversation to this with my ex-boyfriend who is, for lack of a more socially acceptable term or easily understood term, very straight acting, and he constantly has to keep coming out to people, constantly, everywhere he goes, it's a process, and... You know, I sarcastically said, oh, God, what a burden, you know, because I've just right. never had that. That's
right.
I do understand for him and for probably for you, it's irritating because, you know, whatever. But from the perspective of a person who's never even had that option, because I had people telling me before I was ever willing to admit it or accept it or, you know, believe it myself that I was gay. It's like a totally different side of the coin. It's like everybody has their own struggle, whatever.
It's the exact opposite. So for me, it was, I wanted everyone to know, and nobody believed it. And, you know, that was just, you know, what I meant. And for you, it was, you weren't sure you wanted everybody to know because it wasn't really something you wanted to come out and tell people, but it was obvious. So it was the other side of that coin, basically, you know. It wasn't me trying to pretend to be straight or keep being straight. It was me being, okay, I might look and act like this, but I am not straight, guys, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember so many times people saying, like, you're gay, and I would say, no, I'm not, and then I would pick up the hem of my evening gown and just run off crying.
I was that mean little kid when I was younger, too, so I get it. Yeah. I was like, I had a friend that was, well, I consider him a friend now, we're really good friends now, but when we were in school, he acted really gay, and I used to be like, you're gay, but meanwhile, I was a little quasi case myself, so all those people who made fun of you, I tell you firsthand, they were probably thinking very dirty sexual things about you at the same time.
And it's funny because I have a friend of mine from high school. His name is John Daly. He lives in Israel now. Long story. But anyway, he and I correspond now through Facebook. And he was telling me that this guy, he remembered, and I didn't, a guy when we were in school constantly making fun of me and calling me a faggot and all this stuff. And then this person contacted him years later, and he was one of the editors at the gay newspaper near our hometown in Florida. And I was like, girl, how dare you? But it's,
how dare you?
How dare you? So.
It's so funny because the guy that I'm talking about, when he had come across, I guess, my Facebook page one day, and he was like, you're gay? I'm like, yeah. He's like, and all that bullshit we went through in school, you're gay. I'm like, I am so sorry, dude. I was a little faggot then, too. I told him. He started laughing.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to have a great deal of compassion for that, but I recognize that no matter what it is that you're trying to hide, when you're trying to hide something about yourself, you pointed out very quickly in other people.
Girl, don't point it at me because I would knock your ass out.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you point out to other people to try to deflect the attention from yourself.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Of course, especially growing up, but I don't know if you're how old you are, but I'm 36 years old, and I'm sure it was worse off for people who were 46 and 56, but when I was a kid, it was not okay, you know? And of course, being a kid, you do stupid things as a kid, you're immature, you don't know any better, and so, you know, all that stuff combined, not only was I not telling anybody, but I was also making fun of somebody who was, you know, that was dead wrong, you know? Now looking back at it as an adult, it was a stupid thing that a kid did, you know?
It's one of the reasons why when people have significant issues with anything, I'm like, okay, girl, we know what's really going on with you behind the scenes. You got a problem with this or that. That means you're probably hiding that.
Too, we need to be smarter. And I mean, everyone, like, doesn't matter if you're straight or gay, with the kids these days, if we're open about everything and we're honest and accepting and we let them know that's okay, they won't have to hide these things when they're kids and feel these type of ways, you know? Some people hide so much and they hate themselves so much that they turn to suicide or depression or this or that. If my parents would have just made it okay, I probably would have never been making fun of anybody when I was a kid, nor would I have to wait till I was 18, 19 years old to come out of the closet, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, for me, it was never an option to hide it. You know, it just wasn't a choice. And so it is periodically very difficult. It doesn't matter whether the person turns out to be gay or doesn't turn out to be gay. This one guy, for example, his name is Raleigh Hart. If you're listening, Raleigh Hart, I remember, bitch.
You are just giving up the names.
I don't give a damn. He was constantly a real asshole to me throughout high school, and later on, he contacted me on Facebook after he noticed that I was doing all kinds of cool, fun things and whatever, and he said, I sent you a friend request, and I'm aware that you may remember me as not being very nice in high school, and I acknowledged that I was kind of a dick, and I responded back, good, we both remember you the same way, have a great life, and I waited until he read it, and then I blocked him. I was like, I'm blocking that ass. I don't give a fuck if 20 years later you decided it like you were a douchebag.
Right.
Too little, too late, bitch. Goodbye.
I heard that.
Bye, Raleigh Hart.
Maybe because of that harsh action, he will have learned to. He should have never done that in the first place.
Well, you know, I
do believe in forgive or forget, though. I come from a very shaded background. Before I started doing the things that I was doing, I lived a very illegal lifestyle, and there was a lot of violence that came along with that lifestyle, and so I'm living such a different lifestyle where it's all about forgive and forget for me, all about positivity.
Oh, no, and I agree with that. Like, I'm not saying that we don't all have a past, and, you know, we speak very openly on our show about my past. I was a drug addict and a drug dealer and a, like, shady motherfucker and did all kinds of things that I'm not really proud of, but I saw the error of my ways like 13 plus years ago. I turned that shit around and I don't act that way anymore. You know, like.
Well, yeah, she's still shady.
Yeah, I'm still shady.
I'm a violent one and I did 5 years in prison and I wrote a book about it. It actually helped me relieve some of the stress that I was carrying from all that lifestyle.
Wow.
Yeah, I totally get it.
Like, ooh, so I'm like, straight acting, check. Did time in prison, check. Dick me down and steal my pocketbook afterwards? This is romance, motherfucker. Oh, no, I was just like...
Check the mask, girl. I cannot.
It's for the best...
What did you say?
Nothing, girl.
I said, straight acting, masculine, check. Did time in prison, check. Could dick me down and steal my pocketbook afterwards? Ooh, this sounds like romance.
I have a good friend of mine that says if he doesn't have a prison record and he doesn't have a neck tattoo, I won't beat him.
Oh, my God.
All the time.
Yeah, I mean, I've applied to be, like, considered a halfway house for people who are recently released from prison, but then motherfuckers are not accepting my application, so God damn it. I'm still single.
That's so funny. I have a friend of mine that hangs around the halfway house. When the guys get released, he tries to pick them up.
Well, I don't actually hang around the halfway house, but trust me, I encounter plenty of people who are recently out of prison. And I still guess I'm not what they need because I'm still single, bitch. Okay.
That's funny.
I'm just going to start being a pen pal to people who are in prison.
Oh, no.
Sending only drag photos.
The same way. I only used to date guys like me until I met my husband, who was in the military for 8 years, and now he's in college, and he's getting a doctorate, and he's like the total opposite of me. Gorgeous, gorgeous guy, but he's like the exact opposite of me. I think he changed me a lot.
Aww. How did you guys meet? How did you meet your husband?
Well, I had just came out of prison maybe like 6 months, and he was just released from the military for a few months. He lived in California. I started dating this guy in New York City that was, like, becoming a dentist or whatever. And the guy was, like, kind of a real douche because, like, he told me the hell he was becoming a dentist. I don't know. I left him real quick. But he was showing me pictures of this guy that he fell in love with on Facebook, and he said he's going to marry him. And the guy just up and left one day. And in the back of my head, I'm like, I know why he left you. Anyway, I didn't hit the guy up. Because I'm not living like that. Like, I didn't want to go behind the guy's back, even though I didn't owe him anything. I just didn't want to do that. But the first time I looked at this guy's profile on Facebook and his pictures, something happened to me, you know? I'm not the kind of guy that I'll tell you a story where, like, I'll fall in love with somebody I've never met before, but I'm about to tell you one. And so I looked at this guy's pictures. Something different was just, the feeling was so different when I saw those pictures. And I would go home every night after that and just look at this guy's pictures, but I never hit him up. And then one day, I get a friend request from him, and I'm just like, I didn't do this, you know? I think this is okay. And so I answer this friend request, and then I hit him up, and I said, I want to be really honest with you. I was dating this guy. He said he was going to marry him. I didn't want to hit you up, but I've been, like, stalking your page. And he's like, dude, I was with the guy for, like, a month, and he was trying to move me in and marry me, and I was just like, I got to go. And he left. And he's like, I'll be honest with you. I've been seeing your face pop up in my friend suggestions, and I didn't think your profile was real, so I didn't hit you up, but I was looking at your pictures over and over and over again, and then I just decided, what the hell, let me hit you up. And so from that point on, we were literally talking like all day, then we called each other, we're on the phone all night. Next day, same thing. Like the day later, we decided, you know what, you gotta come here and see me. So he booked the trip from California to come to New York for a week, but it was for like 2 weeks away. After, like, 3 more days of this whole high school girl fall asleep on the phone thing we were doing, we decided that 2 weeks was too long to wait. We upped the trip. He came a week later. The night before he came to see me in New York City, we were on the phone. We were both drunk, excited that he was coming the next day. And he says to me, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to think I'm crazy, and it might scare you, but I think I'm in love with you. And I said, honestly, if anybody else would tell me that, I probably would have been scared and like, I'm out, you know, that's crazy. But I'll tell you the truth, I feel the same exact way. I don't know what the hell what's going on here. I've never felt like this before. I'm like the realest motherfucker you'll ever meet. If somebody tells me they fell in love with somebody they never met before, I would slap you, send you home. But I feel the same exact way. And the next day he came, and it was like, you know, you think you're gonna meet people and you have this high expectation that you meet them, and your expectations are like shot to hell. Well, this was not that. The second I saw this gorgeous 6'2" fucking diesel tattooed motherfucker get off the plane with his big ass military duffel bag on his shoulder, my panties were on the floor. I was like, holy shit. But like when my eyes laid on his, I knew it, man. And within a week we decided he was gonna move to New York. He drove cross country, lived with me, and within 2 months he asked me to marry him. Within a year we were married, and 6 years later here we are, still married.
Aw, that is so sweet. I really kind of hate both of you.
Really, honestly, would never believe it if anybody else told me that.
Well, whatever. I mean, I think that I don't know what I think. I've gone out with people before, like a few times, and was like, oh. But then, of course, that person also stabbed himself in my kitchen later on. So probably not the best idea. But you know,
it's like the more you get to know them, the less you like them, right?
Well, I mean, I liked him plenty, but he was crazy as fuck. Yeah, I mean, I will tell you that my experience with men goes one of two ways. I'm usually initially completely dickmatized and then realize that I don't like the person at all, or I think that the person is really bland and then I find out that I'm like crazy about them. And that's been my two experiences with men. So I don't have anything that's lasted 6 years, so I can't speak to that shit, but
it'll hit you in the head one day when you least expect it, because I wasn't expecting it at all. And believe me, I was out in the clubs and looking, searching and sexing, and just all of a sudden that happened, you know. It's crazy how it happened too, you know.
So, now, you said that you got plans to expand Diva Royale into all of these cities around the rest of the U.S. When should people expect for those things to pop up?
So I know for sure that we're going to be opening up in Orlando and Tampa. I know 100% that we will be doing it in Hawaii. And also I know for sure Miami. That's only the game plan for this year. If I don't get to all of those cities by this year, it'll happen in the beginning of next year. And then I'll lay down the track work for the expansion to more cities. It makes more sense now that we've figured out that this thing's for real and it's going to be just as big, or if not close to as big as Hunkamania is, that we do them both at the same time from now on. So like before, I would go to a city and open up Hunkamania and then wind up coming back to that city to do Diva Royale. Well, now when I lay down the track work, it's going to be for both at the same time.
Well, very cool. And how can people find out more about Hunkamania and Diva Royale? What's the website?
For Diva Royale, it's dragqueenshow.com. So that's dragqueenshow.com. And then for Hunkamania, it's hunkomania.com. And if they just Google Hunkamania, there's like tons and tons of news coverage from talk shows and television programs and newspapers. It's been around for a long time. They're the leaders in the bachelorette industry. It's a 20-year-old company. The Hunkamania itself's in 13 cities. And so Diva Royale is just basically the same marketing strategy and the same demographic. So it was very easy for us to tap into the market and utilize the same strategies we did for Hunkamania. And so it's working really, really well. You know, the company is a very, very strong company. It's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Awesome. Well, Jeffrey, thank you for joining us for this episode. And
my pleasure. It was a pleasure talking to you guys.
And, Pearl, you were about to say something? She's like, I was not about to say something. Anyway, and we will meet up very soon. You guys, I'm really excited. We're going to be expanding Diva Royale and Hunkamania here in the Bay Area, and I'm excited to be part of it. So thank you again, Jeffrey, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
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 All right, you guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we will come back to wrap up this episode of Party Foul Radio. I'm Poyo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
Oh, she really came that way?
All right.
My name is Alyssa Edwards.
All right.
I'm known as the Vanessa Williams of drag.
All right.
I am here to show people I still got it.
All right.
I need to get up in this gear, girl.
My name is Alyssa Edwards, and this is Party Styles Radio.
I don't get cute, I get drop dead gorgeous.
All right, you guys, we are back with more Party Call Radio. I'm Poet Almar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
Before we continue and wrap up this episode, we want to remind you to visit and support our sponsors.
That's Daddy's Barbershop over on 19th. And Castro, if you live in San Francisco.
Go get your hair did by Arlen, Jesse, and the boys up in there. As well as visit Left Magazine. Either pick up your copy if you're in the Bay Area or go to liveleft.com.
And then don't forget to check out Swiss Navy Lube for all of your sexy time lubricants.
You know that's right, honey. There's a lube for every hole, bitch.
For every hole, girl.
Every hole, every surface, every orifice.
Right.
Honey, they got it for you.
And don't forget, go to guytogay.com to visit our sponsors down in Australia.
Yes, Australia's premier LGBT website. Keep abreast of everything that's going on down under. And honey, when you go down under, be sure to use some Swiss Navy lube because you'll want that lubed up too, bitch.
Yep. They got flavored ones too, girls, so you know. You know.
So, all right, you guys. Now, Pearl, what is your big weekend plans?
I've got plans starting to... Well, I mean, when you guys hear this, it'll be Wednesday... So if you guys hear this and it's still daytime, you can catch me Wednesday night over at Moby Dick's for Grace Tower's show called Dick at Night.
Oh, that's a fun show. Dick at Night is fun. Grace and the girls.
It is a fun show.
So it's very fun.
I believe they usually have like one spot a month for like babies or whatever.
Oh, so you got booked for the baby show?
No.
Oh.
So what... This is why Poyo doesn't have real friends, you guys.
Bitch, I do have real friends.
Well, I mean, like we said earlier, her definition and my definition, two different things. Anyway, so they're not doing the baby's show this month. Instead, they're doing quite the opposite. They're doing a show to kind of celebrate Mother's Day, so they're having drag mothers and their drag daughters. So Mercedes Monroe and Mickey Monroe will be there. Trangela Lansbury and one of her daughters is going to be there. I will be there, and my drag little sister, Amora Tees, will be there. And then, of course, Grace Towers and her, all of her kids will be there.
Yeah. The time that I did Dick at Night with Grace was Local Legends.
You're a legend?
Bitch. Yes.
Why did it take so long to answer that?
Because I don't think I should, I don't call myself a legend, but other people apparently do, so I'm A-okay with it, bitch.
Okay, so time out, girl. What is the prerequisites to be a legend?
I think that we've already talked about the fact that longevity in the game makes you something. Success in the industry makes you something. Probably the impact that you get to have, on a community probably puts you in that category to some people. I mean, like I said, it's not something I would necessarily call myself, but I definitely think it's a term that's overused. But I think that from the class of performers that I came out of, and by class I'm talking about class of 95 type of thing, or right, in my case, class of 2006, I think that maybe right now, it's really weird to call somebody a legend or whatever when they're still alive, when they're still doing their whatever.
And right.
But I think that in a number of years, people will probably look back on the time frame in which I was performing, and people like BB Sweetbriar and I will have earned our place in the history of the city. We've done quite a lot. So, I mean, it is something that I don't have a business card that says Poyo Del Mar, drag legend or whatever on it. But people, I think that you make a mark on people's lives. And I also think that for me, I think that the reason that I've managed to have an impact on people maybe more than some of my peers
is because you're a sober hoe.
I definitely think that factors in. But what I'll say is it's like what we were talking about earlier when I said that I, from the beginning of my career, from the first time I ever started doing drag, getting paid to do it, I knew that I wanted to do more than just be one of those girls who pops up and does gigs at a nightclub type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, I've got, I've done theatrical productions. I've done things like our podcast. I contribute to the Huffington Post. There's a whole breadth of things that are, I've done music. There's a whole bunch of things that sort of people may know me for one thing or, and not another, but ultimately it's this whole body of work that extends beyond. There's a lot of people out there who've done really creative and amazing things, but some girls are only people who perform at bars, or mm-hmm. whatever. And I think that that is one way to make an impact, but I've, produced major events like Pride Night at Great America, or I've all that, the celebrity interviews we've done, or when I was involved really heavily with the anti-Prop 8 rallies and stuff like that, that introduced a whole bunch of people to me who never saw me at a nightclub. So, mm-hmm. I not a term I would use for myself. I wasn't the one who booked that show. I just accepted the offer. I actually misspoke. It was Honey Mahogany who booked me for the Drag Legends, local Drag Legends show. Huh. And I think that the night that I did Dick at Night, it was a cast maybe of all people who host their own shows.
Huh.
So, and I think that hosting your own show for 7 years, certainly leaves a bit of an impact too. Think of all the queens that have come out of my show. You and Amora and other people. I think that I made an impact.
Well.
She's all no. Crickets.
Right. No one can really say. Anyway, so that's...
She said no one can really say. What a fucking sniz.
So, when you guys hear this tonight, you can catch me at Dick and Night. The show starts at 11, but girl, you're going to want to get there when the party starts. The doors open at 10, because it's going to be a packed show. It sounds like a lot of people will be attending this event. And then on... Well, I mean, I'm seeing a friend of mine perform at a dance show. I'm working on my tattoo again this weekend. And I'm going to have to try to pull it together because I'm supposed to be in the brunch show at Balançoire this Sunday.
Actually, Bianca just texted me and asked me if I could do that brunch show too, but I don't think I can because I'm doing Oasis Superheroes and Villains show the night before with Courtney Act. So I'm like...
It's an entire night before, girl.
So the brunch show, you have to get there at like noon. Like the Oasis show doesn't end until like 1 something in the morning. By the time you get out of there and get home and whatever, get to bed, it's four, like 3 o'clock in the morning. And who wants to go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and have to wake up and immediately put on a face to do a brunch show? That's not, I mean, it'd be one thing, girl, if I were on Drag Race and they were paying me big bucks, bitch, I'd be like, whatever. If it's like okay money, and Balançoire is good money, you guys. It's not, I'm not saying it's not good money. It's good money, but it's like, you guys, I ran myself into the absolute ground this past week with a huge work project and trying to, like, you know, I've just been not getting a lot of sleep. So I told her I don't think I can. Maybe I'll say yes and just fucking...
I mean, it'd be fun to have you in the same show with me, but, you know.
Okay, I'm going to text her. Okay.
Anyway.
So you guys, I'll be at Oasis for Superheroes and Villains...
on
Saturday night, and if Bianca responds back and says that I can do it, I'll be at brunch with Balance. She said yes, so I'll be with Pearl, and I'll both be at brunch at Balançoire on Sunday. So come out and see us, and then of course come see me that evening at the cafe. I'll be hosting the Glamazone. You want to do my show that night? MGM's in.
Oh, girl.
Do you want to do it, bish? Listen to her show. Oh. After she just fucking was like, oh, girl, I'll just do the show. And then she can't fucking do it. She just nagged me about, oh, it's the whole night before.
Girl, that's the truth. I really did just walk right into that, didn't I?
Yeah.
What the...
What a bitch. She's like, oh, wait a minute.
You know what?
MGM Grand is going to be at the Glamazon with me on Sunday. I still got to... After Pearl eventually gives me an answer, I'll have a couple more spots. But
I'll do it.
Yeah, so Pearl and MGM are going to be on the show on Sunday with me. It's going to be a fun time. You know, it's the drag life, bitches. It is the drag life.
I'm putting it in my calendar now. You know, that's actually Mother's Day.
It is Mother's Day. So, it's Mother's Day. I need my hoes around who are basically like my daughters, like Proliqua.
I am not your daughter, girl. I am like your youngest sister.
You are not my youngest sister.
Yes,
I am. You're my youngest sister's daughter who got dropped off in a fucking basket at my doorstep saying, I've been deported to the Philippines. Please take care of this baby.
Whatever. You guys, showtime starts at 9:45 at the Glamazon.
Yes, come on out. Enjoy us. You guys, the last few weeks have been popping up in there. DJ Deft has been turning it out.
Come through.
Like, I love DJ Deft. I like Matthew Baker, who's been my DJ for a while. And unfortunately, his mom is ill and he's... taking care of her, which makes him a good son. But like Matthew Baker has like a different taste in music, and like you know, Deft has it popping up in there, Heaney, and it's a fun time. So catch me at Oasis with Courtney Act on Saturday, and catch Pearl and I at brunch and or the Glamazone on Sunday. Until next time, you guys, this has been Party Foul Radio.
We're going to be so sick of each other by the end of the day.
We sure as fuck will be. Anyway, you guys, it's been a fun episode. We will talk to you next week. We'll have more great guests. Maybe I'll try to hit up Courtney Act in the back room and be like, let's do a quick... Pearl just made a big face.
I thought you were going to invite her to do your show.
No, I'm not going to. Girl, I'm just saying, like, maybe I'll hit her up for a good little interview on location interview.
I would
maybe, you know, have her on the...
She actually,
on the podcast.
Really, I really like her.
So, I've never, you know, you guys, I've said not particularly flattering things about her.
So, you should just have her on the podcast so I can interview her.
So, well, but what I would like to remind people is I've repeatedly said...
Here she goes to try to back herself up.
Nope, I'm not. I'm not backing any, like, I'm not backpedaling. I'm not doing... I've repeatedly said on the show, her style of drag doesn't particularly appeal to me.
It's because Poyo doesn't like... pretty girls.
I do like pretty girls, but I don't like when it just rests at pretty. I think she's...
Poyo will get there one day.
I think I'm fucking stunning, bitch. I think that Courtney is gorgeous. I've never said otherwise. I think she's beautiful.
She is.
I've never said otherwise. I also think she comes across as a nice person.
She is.
Right. But we all know that gorgeous and nice doesn't mean that you're going to particularly be drawn to a performer. I mean, like, people like different things.
And she can sing.
And that is for sure. She absolutely can sing. But what I've said in the past is, like, she was not one of my favorites on that season because I didn't feel connected to her. Period. Doesn't mean I don't like her. Means I wasn't, like, in love with her persona on TV. So, hopefully, she'll prove to be just as delightful and gorgeous in person this weekend when I encounter her. Otherwise, like, I don't know what to say about it. Does it, again, I did not backtrack on a single thing I've said about her. I reiterated it.
All right, girl. But so, hopefully, we'll have an interview with her. Poyle will fill us in.
Hopefully, Courtney Act will not listen to this and be like, you horrible cunt! You didn't like me on my season!
Courtney, I loved you.
She did love you because she likes pretty and that's
and
all.
Talented.
So all
pretty
she...
and talented.
So
you don't say it? No.
Well, I didn't say she's not talented.
You said that's all.
I said that yes, she can sing. Yes, she seems nice. Well, she didn't seem super nice on the show.
She did. She had the one run in with homegirl, but anyway.
Well, I mean, she was pretty shady to Jocelyn. Come on now.
But it wasn't, I think.
Jocelyn was like, I'm a big fan of yours. And she was like, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, God damn. Nobody wants to meet somebody that you love and be like, I'm a big fan. And they're like, mm-hmm.
Anyway,
you should
girl.
Be. But, like, as you should be. But, I mean, it is what it is. She just wasn't my favorite from her season.
It's all good.
I thought she was gorgeous.
She is.
Like, I don't even remember who else was on her season. Who won that season?
Jocelyn.
Courtney. I don't even remember what season she was on at this point. So, damn. She was on the Laganja season, too.
Oh.
Wasn't she?
I mean.
Adore. Wasn't it? Yeah.
Adore was on it. Yeah.
Whatever. Who won that year? It was Adore, Courtney, and somebody else in the top three. And
we
don't even remember the winner of that year.
We don't.
Was it Bianca? Bianca won.
Bianca. So Trinity, Kay Bonet, and all
right.
Of
so that explains it. That explains to me why Courtney wasn't like a favorite of mine because I absolutely fucking love Bianca. Like I. Think the Bianca...
Shady bitch, that's right. That sounds about right.
Camp
Queens Unite.
I do not think that Bianca is shady at all.
I think that's her gig, though.
I don't... But the thing is, like, my definition of shady, you guys, is somebody who does petty shit behind your back or does petty shit on Facebook, and then when they see you, is all like, oh, girl! That's shady as fuck.
I
girl,
guess
just,
that is shady,
like,
yeah.
Bianca is just like... You're a fat cunt. Like, yeah. Right to your face, and you're like, oh. And I'm kind of that way. I'm like, it's not shady. I'm like, I don't have anything for you. And I'll tell you, like, I don't have anything for you, bitch. You don't do anything for me. Whatever.
Anyways, you guys.
Shady bitches unite, I guess. But, like, you know.
We will catch you again next week.
Exactly.
If you don't catch us out here in the city.
Lest we continue our petty conversation of bickering.
Right.
All right, you guys. Thanks for tuning in to episode 65 of Party Foul Radio. We'll be back next week with more.
I'm Pearl Tease.
I'm Poet Omar.
Bye.
Bye. It's over.